Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catherine Campano, and today's show is brought to you by Pfingst, the makers of the much-loved Pfingst Canary. We're starting off today's show with government and policy-related news. In an interesting report on Thursday, CyberScoop said that US Cyber Command has been facing staff shortages, an issue that appears to have been caused by the DoD's regular policy of rotating staff every 2 to 4 years. CyberScoop reported that servicemen from the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and Coast Guard are often sent to CyberCom as part of the staff rotation process and are then called back just when they have mastered the complexities of cyber missions. One way that was suggested to fix this issue was to create a completely separate branch of the US military, a cyber force akin to how the US created the Space Force back in 2019. Also in CyberCom-related news, the agency said on Thursday that it successfully concluded its 35th Fund Forward mission. These are initiatives where the US agency sends cybersecurity experts to countries across the globe to help them uncover advanced malware and defend against incoming cyber attacks. So far, CyberCom has sent Fund Forward missions to 18 countries, and its last one took place in Croatia, where they work with the country's security and intelligence agency. Meanwhile, in Europe, the Estonian government said that it saw this week the largest DDoS attacks in the country's history, even bigger than the ones conducted by Russian hackers in 2007. These recent attacks targeted both public institutions and the private sector and were claimed by Russian hacktivist group Killnet. Despite their size, Lukas Ilves, an official for Estonia's Ministry of Economic Affairs and Communications, said the attacks did not lead to any extended disruptions. In tech-related news, we have some excellent news for administrators of Joomla websites. This week, the team behind the content management system released version 4.2 of the Joomla CMS, which now supports multi-factor authentication for securing CMS accounts. Support is included for YubiKeys, WebAuth, verification codes, and code by email. In cybercrime news, Brazil's federal police said that it carried out 8 search and seizure warrants on Tuesday as part of an investigation into attacks claimed by the Lapsus group that disrupted the country's Ministry of Health last December. As the record points out, police did not specifically name the Lapsus group in the announcement. However, the details described in the press release line up with the Lapsus attack from last year. Also in another win for law enforcement, the US Department of Justice said that it managed to secure the arrest and extradition of a Russian national from the Netherlands to the US for his alleged role in laundering funds linked to past Ryuk ransomware payments. Authorities identified the suspect as Denis Mikhailovich Dubnikov, 29, and said that he laundered $400,000 in Ryuk ransomware payments as part of a larger group linked to more than $70 million in Ryuk ransoms. Moving on to news from the cybercrime underground, threat intel analysts said they've discovered that the source code of Taurus and Predator the Thief, two popular info stealers, was successfully sold to a new malware author earlier this month. In addition, researchers also published reports detailing the activities of Russian hacktivist group Killnet, as well as Dartmall, a new emerging e-crime market known for trading of personal data and compromised accounts. On top of this, Proofpoint researchers also released a report on the activities of TA558, a financially motivated small crime threat actor that's been targeting hospitality, hotel, and travel organizations since at least 2018. Quoting from the report, TA558's targeting focus is mainly on Portuguese and Spanish speakers, typically located in the Latin America region, with additional targeting observed in Western Europe and North America. TA-558 increased operational tempo in 2022 to a higher average than previously observed. End quote. In other news, Google said that it blocked a record HTTPS-based DDoS attack that peaked at a whopping 46 million requests per second, a figure that it was 76% higher than the previous 26 million RPS attack mitigated by Cloudflare in June earlier this year. Google did not disclose the target of this attack, but said that it believes the attack was carried out with the help of the Maris IoT botnet. Google said the attack was so large that it was like its servers were receiving the entirety of Wikipedia's daily requests every 10 seconds. Also on Thursday, Microsoft put out a report highlighting that detections for crypto mining malware strains has gone down since the start of the year. The OS maker blamed the issue on crypto miners becoming more stealthy as they began adopting living off the land binaries, also known as LORBANs, to evade security software. In malware intelligence news, IBM Oxford said in a report published on Thursday that its researchers uncovered evidence that suggests that the Bumblebee malware, which first appeared in the wild last year, was likely developed directly from source code associated with the Remnant banking Trojan. IBM Oxford said their findings are particularly interesting as Bumblebee activity suggests the connections to affiliates of the Trickbot and Conti group, who are not known to have had a previous connection with Remnant. Also in malware news, Red Canary said that an activity cluster it tracks as AdSearch rocketed to the number one spot in its top 10 threats list for the month of July. Red Canary said the AdSearch group uses malvertising campaigns to trick Windows users into downloading an ISO file that eventually ends up installing the final AdSearch payload, a browser hijacker that modifies browser settings and redirects users to advertising websites. Also in malware-related news, SecureWorks published an interesting report this week on a previously unknown malware strain named Dark Tortilla. Here's the SecureWorks team with more details on their findings.
My name is Rob Panizopoulos, and I am a senior security researcher within the SecureWorks Counter-Threat Unit's threat research team. We just published a technical threat analysis for a crypto that we're calling Dark Tortilla. Dark Tortilla's main objective is to deliver any primary or potential secondary payloads, which include remote access trojans or information stealers, while remaining undetected. We consider it a crypto because it stores its configuration, which includes its payloads, as encrypted data within the initial loader executable. It could also be considered a stego loader, since the encrypted configuration is stored as a series of bitmap images within the binary. Dark Tortilla consists of two primary components, the first being its initial loader executable, and the second being its core processor DLL. The initial loader exhibits basic functionality, as it's only responsible for retrieving, decoding, loading, and executing its core processor. The initial loader's code base is generic in nature and varies between samples due to code obfuscations applied by the Deep Sea code obfuscator. As a result, the initial loader, which is the only component of Dark Tortilla that actually touches the file system, is very hard to detect. Dark Tortilla's second component, which is the core processor, represents the bulk of its malicious activity. Once the core processor is decoded and executed within memory by the initial loader, it retrieves, decrypts, parses, and processes the Dark Tortilla configuration, which is very comprehensive and is what separates Dark Tortilla from other cryptos. It contains runtime settings that control things such as whether or not to install itself on the system, whether or not to implement persistence and the kind of persistence to use, execution delays, and execution migration. It also controls a number of anti-analysis features. For instance, anti-analysis and anti-virtual machine checks can be enabled through the configuration. If enabled, the core processor will check for artifacts associated with virtual machine technology, such as VMware, VirtualBox, or Hyper-V. The only sandbox-related artifact that it looks for is for the process associated with the sandboxy sandbox. Dark Tortilla's main payload is also stored within this configuration. As mentioned earlier, this payload is typically a remote access Trojan or an information stealer. Some of the more popular payloads have been Agent Tesla, Async Rat, Nanocore, and Redline. While these were the most popular families, we have seen a wide range of other families being delivered as well, such as Bitrat, Formbook, SystemBC, and DCRat. Although more rare, we have seen targeted payloads such as Metasploit and Cobalt Strike. Dark Tortilla's configuration can also contain several additional payloads that it refers to as add-on packages. These add-on packages can range from benign documents and executable installers to other malicious payloads. Benign add-ons are typically included as a ruse to make the victim think that they have executed a legitimate application, when in reality the malicious payload is executing in the background. In cases where the add-ons were malicious, we saw similar payloads to that of the main payload, such as Redline, Warzone Rat, and Async Rat. Dark Tortilla is a formidable threat for several reasons. Its detectable footprint on the file system is very small. Most of its malicious attributes don't reveal themselves until loaded into memory and decoded. Its ability to migrate to different folders throughout its execution makes it hard for defenders to track. Its ability to delay execution of its payloads means that submission to sandbox analysis environments could falsely report that the malware is benign if the delay exceeds the analysis timeout. Lastly is the sheer prevalence that Dark Tortilla has in the wild. Over the past 2 years, we've processed 10,000 unique Dark Tortilla samples, delivering 3,500 unique primary payloads and 300 unique add-ons. Our research revealed that an average of 93 unique Dark Tortilla samples were being uploaded to VirusTotal every week over an 18-month period.
Thank you, Rob. Moving on to other news, both Apple and Google released patches for actively exploited 0 days over the past 2 days. Google released a new Chrome browser version on Wednesday to address an actively exploited zero-day tracked at CVE-2022-2856. The zero-day impacts intent, a Chrome component used for deep linking inside modern web applications. In addition, Apple also released emergency security patches on Wednesday for macOS and iOS to patch two actively exploited zero-days in the macOS and iOS kernel and the WebKit browser engine. In other vulnerability news, Sneaks Lirantal published some interesting research on Wednesday showing how the RubyGem installation process allows package maintainers to execute arbitrary code during the time it takes for packages to install their dependencies. Similarly, another interesting report was also published by CyberArk researchers who found a set of vulnerabilities in robotic process automation tools, also known as software robots, made by software company Blueprism. Vulnerabilities included a master encryption key leak, SQL injection, and insecure data deserialization. And last but not least, in bug bounty news, after a researcher hacked the Starlink satellite internet network, SpaceX said it would establish a bug bounty platform that would pay up to $25,000 to researchers who report Starlink vulnerabilities. This does it for today's news. Today's podcast was sponsored by Pingst, and you can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.